Masech the Tainus, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Taisus Diri Maschil, Asa La'odam L'shamish Mitosoi B'shnei Ra'avon. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rish Lakish that a person is prohibited to engage in marital relations during years of famine. And they prove it from the psukim concerning Yosef HaTzadik, that in Parshas Miketz it states that L'Yosef Yulad Shnei Banim B'terem Tavo Shnas Harav, that Yosef had two children, of course Ephraim and Manasseh, before the years of famine or the year of famine had arrived, implying that he already had had children beforehand, because during the days of the famine itself he would not be engaging in marital relations, and therefore of course he would not have children then. And then, just to introduce what is going to be part of a discussion of Tosis, the Gemara quotes a brisa that chasuch evonim misham shemitaseim b'shnei ravon, that those who don't have children are allowed to engage in marital relations even during those years in order to fulfill the mitzvah of having children, as Rashi seems to indicate. So now Tosis has the following kasha. Vim tomar, Tosis ask, Hare yocheved nolda ben achomos, v'oso ha'eis, eis rov hoya. We know from the famous Rashi and Chumash, based on the difference in the count, where it says all the names of Yaakov's children and grandchildren, his children's children, so they numbered a total of 69, but yet the Torah counts them as 70. So the Gemara and Sota is quoted on the margin here, on the Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and Medrash writes that Yocheved was born in between the walls. So they were 69 going down, but when they entered Mitzrayim, they were already 70. Because Yocheved, the daughter of Levi, was born before they entered into the wall of the city in Mitzrayim. That time, of course, was still a time of famine. Yaakov and his children came down after the second year of the famine. The Torah continue the calculation. So clearly, if Yocheved was born when they went down to Mitzrayim, so the gestation period was pretty much maximally 9 months, that means that during the years of famine, that Levi and his wife had engaged in marital relations. But here the Gemara says that it's aser. So isn't that a contradiction to this halacha? So Tosis answer, somewhat cryptically, Yesh Lomar, we could answer as follows. It's really not aser for everyone. Elo l'misha rotza linog atzmo b'chasidus, except for one who wanted to engage in an act of piety, in amidus chasidus. Yosef, lo shimesh. Yosef didn't engage in marital relations because he went with that midat chasidut. Avol shavrei adam shimshu. But other people, including Levi, did engage in marital relations, and they weren't in violation of the halacha, because it is only a midas chasidus. The Achronim, in analyzing this particular tosis, in terms of what I've seen, seem to have three different approaches. At first glance, the simple reading of the Gemara, Rish Lakish's statement of Asr la'adam l'shamish mitaso, sounds like it's a real iser. But yet tosis seems to significantly downgrade the iser, that it's not a real iser, it's only a midas chasidus. It's only an act of piety not to do that. But it's really mutar. And that's why Levi chose not to be machmer in that, and Yosef was machmer in that. That indeed is seemingly the way the Beis Yosef, in quoting this Tosus, understood the Tosus. Except the Beis Yosef quotes other Rishonim who understood that it's a real Isser, and that we wouldn't follow this Tosus necessarily. However, several of the other Achronim give different interpretations of the Tosus, which would align this Tosis together with the majority opinion in the Rishonim that it actually is a real Isser. So why then do Tosis write that it is only a Midas Chasidus? So the Marasha in the back, as well as the Bach in his commentary on the tour, explain that Tosis is dealing with the specific circumstances under which Levi was Meshamish Mitoso and Yosef was not. Because the Gemara, right after Rish Lakish's statement, as we quoted earlier, quotes the Braisa that Chasuch Ivanim are allowed to engage in marital relations. And again, the simple reading of that statement of Chasuch Ivanim is one who was not Mekayim Piriv Rivya, one who did not formally fulfill the mitzvah of having children. And the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of having children, one has to have at least one son and one daughter. So Yosef, on the simple level, didn't have daughters at that point. He had just Ephraim and Manasseh. He was not yet Mekayim, Puruvu. Levi at that point, these Achronim suggest, also didn't have a daughter. And that's why he continued to engage in Tashamita during the years of famine, in order to be able to have a daughter. He already had sons, as evidenced by the Torah. in Parshas Vayigash, when they go down to Mitzrayim, but he didn't have a daughter. So that daughter, Yocheved, through which he was Mekayin the Mitzvah Puruvu, was conceived and born during the years of famine, which, according to the Gemara itself, is Mutter. So it's on that state, when one was not Mekayin Puruvu, so that's what Tosis is saying, that the desist from marital relations when one was not Mekayim Puruvu, that's a Midas Chasidus, that's an act of piety. And only Yosef did that act of piety, and Levi did not. But in a regular case, where one already had at least one boy and one girl, where they were Mekayim the Mitzvah Puruvu, so then it would be an actual Isser to engage in Tashamita during the years of famine. So the Marshon de Bach just added that if that's the case, that we're dealing with a case where they didn't have children, how do we know through Medayik from Yosef there's a real Isser when you already have a boy and a girl? So that's what they write, that if not for the fact that there would be a real Isser to be Mishamesh Mitoso during a time of famine when you already have children, then it couldn't possibly be a Midas Chasidus to desist from marital relations even if you don't have children. Now that we see that Yosef fulfilled a Midas Chasidus to separate, even though he was not Mekayim Puruvu, that must indicate that it's a real Isser when you already fulfilled Puruvu to engage in marital relations during the time of famine. A third pshat is given by the Taz. Keep in mind, and this is also somewhat alluded to by the Beis Yosef, this general concept, that Yosef and Levi lived before Matan Torah, so there wasn't any such formal Isser to be Mishamish Mitoso during the years of famine, because the Torah wasn't given yet. So within that pre-Sinaitic state, so it was all Midas Chasidus to follow the Torah. So Levi, regarding the mitzvah of having children, so Levi did not fulfill that Midas Chasidus of keeping this particular halacha of Osa La'adam L'shamish Mitoso B'shnei Ravon. And Yosef did. So in sum, Tosfos asked about Levi that obviously he wasn't keeping the Isser, so why not? So he said, Midas Chasidus, Yosef kept the Midas Chasidus, Levi didn't. So the simple pshat is that he's downgrading the whole Isser, it's not a real Isser, and he'll have to interpret the words Osel Adam L'shamish Mitoso of Rish Lakish as Lav Dafka, a real Isser. Now Chronim point out that not every single time that the word Osser appears in the Gemara doesn't mean a real Isser. That would perhaps be the simplest reading. Several Chronim explain that Tosfos is referring to the fact that it was only Midas Chasidus because they didn't have a boy and a girl yet. They weren't Mekayim Puruvu. And the Taz says that it was only Midas Chasidus because it was before Matan Torah. According to those latter two interpretations, Tosfos agree to the rest of the Rishonim that under ordinary circumstances, post Matan Torah, and for people who already were Mekayim Puruvu, there is indeed a real Isser, and that's what's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. Here's the quote in the margin, the Emishbat, and Siman Tov Kuf Ayin Daled, that during days of famine, it is a real Isser. The poskim have a rich discussion about when this Isser applies and when it doesn't apply, and what kind of tzaras qualify to be similar to a famine, such that it will be prohibited to engage in marital relations. Unfortunately, something that in Jewish history was not too uncommon an occurrence when the Jewish people and the world at large were in some kind of tzara. Tais de Maschil, Amma Shmuel, Kol Yoisha Betainis, Nekrochote. The Gemara quotes the statement of Shmuel, someone who fasts is normally referred to as a sinner. The Gemara points out that Shmuel's position aligns itself with the view of the Tana of Lozar Kapor, who says something similar based on the Drosha, Vichipera Lov, Me'asher Chatal Nefesh, that the Nazir, he's a kapara because he sinned concerning his soul. What was the sin? Shatzir atzam and ayayin, that he deprived himself of wine. Of course, the nazir being prohibited to drink wine. That's a kal v'chomer, that even if someone deprived himself from one permitted pleasure, he's called a chote, a sinner requires kapara atonement. So the more so, someone had deprived himself from all foods, namely a fast. Another Gemara records later that Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, disagreed with Shmuel, and maintains that the Nazir is called Kadosh for desisting from a certain permitted pleasure, and all the more so someone who fasts would also be called Kadosh. Then the Gemara works out how Rabbi Elazar would deal with the other psukim that seem to imply that he's a chote. So Tosfos has the following kasha. The kasha, Amina Meferek HaChovel, the Gemara says in the 8th parak of Baba Kamed of Tzadi Alvama Beis, HaChovel Ba'atzmo Rashoi, V'lacherim Shechovel Bo Chayovim. One who wounds himself, he is permissible to do that. But others who wound him, so they are not allowed to do that, and therefore they are going to be liable to pay money as a result. Umafarashasam, and the Gemara explains, Hadaka marachovo basmo rashai. That which there's a brisa that teaches us that one who wounds himself is permissible. Amr Shmuel v'yoshev v'tanis. It's dealing with someone who's fasting. Just to give a little better background, the Gemara originally, when it thought that all opinions maintain it is usher to wound oneself, quoted a brisa that spoke about a shvua lahara or lahetiv. The Torah describes at the end of Parshat Vayikra a shvua either to do good or to do bad. And the Gemara discussed that we're talking about things that are optional, a reshus. We're not talking about a shvua to do a mitzvah or a shvua to do an aveira, which really wouldn't be binding in that classic sense, and therefore wouldn't be chayiv for violation of the shvua. So what's an example of a shvua lahara? The Gemara thought that that must be to wound oneself, that that's considered a permissible act. To that, Gemara quotes Shmuel's statement, which Tosas quote here. Again, reading the line inside in Tosas again. Meaning that that brisa that spoke about lahara, that sounds like it's saying that you're allowed to wound yourself, and that's the example of lahara, of doing bad to yourself. That to actually wound yourself would be aser, but to fast, which is lahara, you're doing bad to yourself, so to speak, causing pain, but that's mutter.
The language of Tosis, where he says that the Gemara in Baba Kama states that achovu ba'atzma rashoi, aval acherim shechavlu bo chayovim, that the baseline is that you're allowed to wound yourself. And then he continues to state in Tosis, mafarash hasam hadika amar achovu ba'atzma rashoi, that which it says that you're allowed to wound yourself, that Shmuel explains that it's going on a fast day. According to what we explained, this presentation is somewhat imprecise because the baseline that the Gemara was going on is the assumption that you're not allowed to wound yourself, that a chayvul ba'atzmai ain't a rashai, and the source that was problematic is not a source that said directly that you're allowed to wound yourself, but the source concerning shvua about lahara lahetiv, which implies that you're allowed to wound yourself. And it's on that source that Shmuel explained that it's talking about fasting and not wounding yourself. So the language of Tosfos is somewhat imprecise, but I believe as we explained it in terms of what it says in the Gemara there.
Now Tosfos has a stira between that Gemara and Baba Kama, quoting Shmuel, and the Gemara in Tainis, quoting Shmuel. Alma, that Gemara Baba Kama, implies, Mashma de Shmuel, Ka'amar de Yosheb Tainis, Lo Nikrachote, that Shmuel holds that someone who is in a state of a fast is not considered a sinner. Because if he's a sinner, that means he's not allowed to do it. And the Gemara in Baba Kama is saying that that form of lahara is a mutter form, that we're dealing with where you took an oath to do good or bad in something that's a reshus. And yet our Gemara says that someone who fasts, according to Shmuel, is called a chote. So you have a steer in two Gemaras, whether a faster is considered an avarian, a sinner, or not. Tosfos gives a fascinating answer, which is very enlightening in terms of this whole parsha of the status of a nazir, and more generally the status of asceticism, of withdrawing from a certain permissible pleasure. Yishlomar Tosfos answered, "Devade havichote, that someone who fasts is for sure considered a sinner. Kedemin anocha, as it says right here in Masechta Tainis, mi kal v'chomer mi nazir, and that is learned out as a kal v'chomer from nazir. Ma nazir shalotzir atzmar lemi yayin v'chulei, as you mentioned briefly earlier." In the presentation of Rabbi Lazar Kapra's view, that if even a nazir who only pained himself or deprived himself from one permissible pleasure, that of wine, is still called a sinner, so all the more so someone who fasts, who is depriving himself from all food pleasures. So that is a fact, that a faster is called a sinner. Of mikomukom ha-mitzvah she-osatainis, that mitzvah he's doing by fasting, Godel Yosem and Avera Mimasho Mitzar Nafsho. It is greater than that pain that is causing his soul. The mitzvah lindor, because there's a mitzvah to take a neder, either a neder nazir or by extension a neder of a tainis. Kedam minan, as we say, Masechta Sota Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Haroa Sota Bikul Kula Yaz Ratzim and Ayayin. The famous drasha, as quoted by Rashi and Chumash, commenting on the juxtaposition between Parshas Sota and Parshas Nazir in Parshas Naso. One follows the other, implying that if a person sees a sota woman, which implies a moral lapse of immorality, of adultery, so therefore one should cease from certain pleasures that might lead to that kind of immoral behavior. So you see that the Torah is directing us toward certain asceticism in order to serve as a safeguard to sin. That's a positive thing. And again, in the context of Tosfos, the same is true for fasting. Separation from the world, separation from all eating and drinking could lead to positive things. So there's a balance here. On the one hand, the deprivation of pleasure is considered sinful. But on the other hand, the spiritual gain that's gained as a result of a neder nezirus or fasting is a mitzvah and very positive. So that's what Tosfos continues. There's still somewhat of a sin of depriving the body from pleasure. Now Tosfos gives a parallel to this idea where you have this kind of mixed state where there's somewhat of a lesser sin, but there's also a great mitzvah and spiritual gain. Midah d'hava, just like Tosfos continue, Amisane tainis chalom b'shabbos. The Gemara and Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, as well as Mamish the next page in Tainis, Daf Yud Beis and Beis, quote, that if someone has a bad dream and one is fasting as a result of that, again, the post can discuss whether we should really be doing that nowadays, or we should just dismiss the dreams as chalom shavi debeiru, they don't really mean anything, or we should do atavas chalom, some kind of procedure with getting friends who give a good interpretation of the dream. But one who is fasting for a bad dream, so the Gemara points out that the effectiveness of fasting has to take place right away the next morning. So one if one had a bad dream on Friday night, so then the fast would have to take place on Shabbos. Normally you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos because supposed to have oneg, pleasure. So the Gemara says that one who was misana, tanas chalom b'shabbos, back to the words of Tosfos, the koren gzardino, that they rip up the bad decree that might have been shown to him in the dream, and nonetheless, v'nifron mimenu tainas shel shabbos, and then he's going to be punished as a result that he fasted on Shabbos, even though that's what he was supposed to do in order to cause the decree that might be indicated by the bad dream to be annulled. Then the Gemara continues, Amaitakante, so what should he do to atone for that sin of fasting on Shabbos? Leisiv tanisa letanise, that let him literally sit in or declare a fast for the fast.
The word leisiv also means l'shalem, so it could also mean that he has to pay a fast day, meaning he has to fast as a makeup for the aveira he did by fasting on Shabbos.
What emerges then is the following, that ultimately he should be fasting on Shabbos for a tainis chalom, because there's a great spiritual benefit to accrue, namely the elimination of the gzar din of a decree that might be indicated by the bad dream. But nonetheless, since he engaged in a procedure that's considered somewhat of a sin, namely fasting on Shabbos, so he needs atonement to kapara for that avera. So he has to fast again in order to atone for that sin. Tos doesn't quite use the words, but it sounds like he's alluding to a concept that appears in the Gemara in several places concerning Ya'el Eshes Chevra Keni. And the Mefarshim explained that was also true for Esther Malka when she went willingly to Achashverosh, that these were Averos. They were both married and they had relations with another man. In cases at hand, it was a non-Jewish man. And they both did it to save Klal Yisrael, especially in the case of Esther Malka. And in the case of Ya'el, concerning the general of Yavin Melech Kanan, Sisera, who was going to wreak havoc with the Jewish people in battle. So she killed the general, and in so doing, basically sealed the doom of that army. So they did it to save Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara calls that an Aveira Lishma. It was a sin, but it was done for the sake of heaven. So the great post can point out that one has to be very careful where one applies this. It has to be an extreme benefit with respect to the sin at hand. Normally we wouldn't apply this concept of doing a lesser sin in order to get a greater benefit. The Tosfos, on a less drastic level, is pointing out that sometimes we have such a situation where you're allowed to do the Aveira Lishma, and it needs kapara, it needs atonement. I heard this several times from my Rebbe Rav Herschel Schechter in the name of the Netziv, of Tali Svira Berlin, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Elozhin, that when you have a hetter to do an Aveira Lishma, it's still an Aveira. So it needs kapara, it needs atonement. Tosfos gives an example of a tainis chalom on Shabbos. You're fasting on Shabbos, and one is sinning by eliminating oneg, but one is getting the spiritual benefit of eliminating the gzar din. So that's allowed, but you need kapara. The Gemara says you have to fast over that fast. So too, Tosfos answered a stira within Shmuel. The Shmuel here implies that a nazir, and certainly someone who's fasting, is called a chote. But yet Shmuel Masechta Baba Kama tells us that it's a rishus to do that, and it's not an avera. Tosfos explained that it isn't aveira, but it's a relatively small aveira that we'd recommend that people engage in order to get a greater spiritual benefit, namely the spiritual benefits that would accrue to someone who takes a neder nazir and a neder tainis. And presumably, Rav Tosfos don't quite spell this out. The fact that one has that aveira of depriving the body of pleasure, so that presumably would require some kind of atonement. Of course, with fasting, if you're going to atone for the aveira of depriving the body of pleasure with another fast day, that's going to be endless. So presumably some kind of other kapara, some kind of other tshuva has to be done in order to eliminate the lesser aveira of depriving one's body from pleasure, but it's worth it in order to gain the greater spiritual benefit of the fasting, or as the Gemara quotes from Losa Kapor, of the Neder Naziris. So this certainly needs analysis of when to apply this balance, and the exact balance, as has oftentimes been discussed, as to whether or not deprivation of pleasure and general asceticism in Judaism is that a positive or a negative. The Tosfos here presents somewhat of a mixed approach that can create great spiritual benefit, but nonetheless, the act itself has a degree of sin to it. The Gemara had quoted a stira within the opinion of the Amor Rabbi Elazar. On the one hand, he said that the Nazir is called the Kadosh. On the other hand, the same Rabbi Elazar stated that La'olam yomid adam atzmoy kilu kadosh shari v'soich me'ov, that a person should view as if Kadosh, the Holy One, is in his belly, meaning the source of digestion. Shenemar b'kirbucha kadosh, lo avo b'ir. Tosfos explains exactly how Rav Lazar is darshaning ki'ilu kadosh shari b'tech me'ov. Who is the kadosh? Tosfos explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bach even adds in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shari b'soich me'ov. As if kiviyochel, Hashem himself is within his innards. So obviously has to be treated with care. So therefore, a person has to take care of his innards, meaning to eat sufficient food. So Tosfos explain, how does that contradict that the Nazir is called Kadosh, Pirish, Omer La'el, but Rav Seim Rav Lazar said earlier, Shenikra Kadosh, that the Nazir is called holy, and by extension, Kal V'chomer, one who fasts is called holy, Kalomar, meaning Shayosha Bitanis, Nikra Kadosh, someone who is immersed in fasting is called holy. So it's a contradiction. If one immersed in fasting is called holy, that directly contradicts saying that you have to feed yourself, because so to speak, as if Hashem's presence is within one's innards. Mishani, and then the Gemara answers, Lo kasha, that's not a difficulty, and Tosfos doesn't quote the answer, but Had lo matzi l'tzuri nafshe, it depends whether one can handle the deprivation. If one cannot handle it, so then one is not taking care of, so to speak, Hashem's presence that is dwelling within. But if one can handle it, so adarabah, that's a stepping stone to being able to reach higher levels and avoid Nafsho. The Gemara quotes a somewhat vague statement of Rish Lakish that Nikra Chosid doesn't say who is called the Chosid. Shenemar, Paskin Mishlei, Gomel Nafsho Ish, they point out the Krat Gir says Ish Chesed, Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed, Ocher She'ero, Vegomer. The Vegomer, which is important to see for purposes of this Tosfos, is V'ocher She'ero Achzari. So, we could try translating that pasuk just on a simple level. One who does benefit to a soul is a man of kindness, and one who dirties or acts in a cruel way to She'ero, which could variously mean his relative, or his flesh, Achzari, is cruel. V'ocher She'ero Achzari. And one who sullies his flesh, also could be translated as a relative, is cruel. So how do we translate this pasuk? Let's also explain as follows. Gomel nafsho pirish, shagomel chesed nafsho, that a person bestows kindness to a soul. In what sense? She'ena masana, that he does not fast. Nikra chosid is called a pious one. So according to this, Rish Lakish's statement of nikra chosid is going on someone who doesn't fast. According to that interpretation, either Rish Lakish is following the view of Shmuel, that fasting is considered sinful, so not fasting would be considered pious, or perhaps Rish Lakish is going on a situation where the person can't really take the fasting, it's too difficult for them. Then, by being kind to his body that cannot take the fasting, he's called a chassid. In that situation, even Rabbi Elazar, who holds that the nazir, and by extension the faster, it's called kadosh, but that's the only way you could handle it. But if you can't handle it, then it is inappropriate to fast. So one could explain the words of Rish Lakish either in accordance with the view of Shmuel or in accordance with the different view of Rabbi Elazar. It could be that what motivated this pshat and tosis is because this gives a parallel between the two halves of the pasuk. Gomel nafsho ish chesed, ocher she'eiro achzari. A lot of times, pesukim and mishle are parallel to each other in terms of the two halves. So gomel nafsho ish chesed, someone who's kind to his soul, meaning that he eats, so he's an ish chesed. And someone who sullies his body, meaning he fasts, achzari is cruel. So it's saying the same thing, basically, but one in the positive and one in the negative. It's interesting that Rashi interpreted Rish Lakish words in a totally different way. Again, we pointed out that Tosis most likely didn't have the Rashi in front of us. And Rashi explains that Rish Lakish's point is that someone who fasts is called a chosid. And Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed is not referring to someone who feeds his soul, referring to someone who, language of a gamul or ligmol, means to wean off, that he weans off of food. So he's called Ish Chesed. Rashi gives another interpretation as well, but this, both of them seem to be indicating that it's talking about a faster. Then Rashi continues to explain the second half of the pasuk, Ocher She'eiro, also referring to a faster, and that's terrible. So it could be that according to Rashi, Rish Lakish, although he's only focusing on the first half of the pasuk, but that the pasuk he quotes actually is a proof to both halves of Rabbi Elazar's statement. To recall, the Gemara concluded that Rabbi Elazar holds that if you can't take fasting, then that's great, and that's elevating. If you cannot, then that's terrible, because it's going to lead to too much weakness and you won't be able to serve Hashem properly. The first half of the pasuk going to Rashi is Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed, that if you fast, that's very good. That's talking about where you could take it. And Ocher She'eiro, in the language of Rashi, Amesano Machish Visoro, you weaken the flesh so much, you can't handle it, Nikra Achzor, then it's called cruel. This is perhaps what Rashi is driving at, Acharei Ayun, that according to Rashi, Rish Lakish is quoting a pasuk that actually brings a proof to both halves of Blaz's statement. Is in direct contradistinction to Tosis' understanding, the way we explained it, that both halves of the pasuk are going on the value of not fasting. That's called a chassid, and someone who would is called achzari, cruel. Tosir maskelin tanisiva bovel al tisha bov bilvad. Gemara parenthetically quotes the statement of Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba that there is no tanisiva in bovel except for Tisha B'Av. Gemara in the next daf is going to quote that in a more elaborate context in terms of what the nafkaminas are about that. According to the conclusion of the Gemara, minimally, that one is allowed to wear shoes on any public fast day except for Tisha B'Av, even one that's publicly decreed. So Tosis here explains that why is it that there's no Tainas Sira of Bavel with all the Chamisha Inuyim and the Yisra Malacha, these are the various nafkaminas of it being a real Taina Sibur except for Tisha B'Av, which is a Taina Sibur even in Bavel. Let's also explain Pirish Shehoyalem Harbe Gishamim, because in Bavel they had a lot of rain. To recall, Gemara earlier on Yoram and Aleph points out that Bavel is Tovani velo Yuvshani. And Rashi explained over there, Tosis in a somewhat similar way, not exactly the same though, that Bavel is a land that's saturated, and therefore they could even plow without rain. So since they don't need so much rain, so the fast days that they would declare wouldn't have halacha of a tiny seaboard. Somewhat of discussion about this, it could mean that perhaps is the simplest reading of Tosis, and also the Ran seems to assume that that's Pshat and Rashi in Masechta Pesachim, that if they declare a fast over rain, because they need more rain, then it doesn't have the full stringency of a tiny seabor, because they don't need the rain as much. The land has its own moisture. But the Rashi and Pesachim that we have in our version seems to say a more far-reaching shot, that since they don't really decree fasts over rain, because it's not really so relevant, because the earth has its own moisture, so even the fast days that they decree about other tzarot, such as pestilence, dever, and other things, also wouldn't have a lach of a tiny seabor. So that's somewhat of a mystery why that should be, why the fact that they don't declare fast days over rain, or alternatively that the fast days that they would declare over rain, and since they're not so essential, don't have a lach of a tiny seabor, why should that affect the fast days that they declare about other tzarot, where Bavel presumably is on equal footing with all other lands? In any case, our version of Tosis might imply that it's only fast days over rain that doesn't have a lach of Tainat Sibor, in the event that they need more rain and declare such a fast day.
But fast days occurred on other Tzarot, according to Tosis, would have a halacha of Tainat Sibor even in Bavel. It's interesting that the Rosh and the Ramban quote a totally different interpretation of Ein Tainat Sibor Bavel, based on the Rishalmi, having to do with the degree of Torah authority that existed in these respective places. But that's not our topic for now.
Gemara records the statement of Rav Huna that a person who accepted a fast day, let's say on Sunday afternoon, in preparation for fasting on Monday, even though he eats and drinks the whole night, on Sunday night, he's still able to daven aneinu on the next day, because fasting at night is normally not the norm. It's only for the later Tainius Sivor, on a typical Tainius Yachid, and even the earlier Tainius Sivor of the first three fast days for rain, you could eat at night. The Torah says Akasha, since there are such fast days where you also could eat at night, again, namely the first three fast days of the rain fasts, as opposed to the middle three fast days and the last seven fast days, where the fast is a 25-hour fast. So in light of that, ask Tosis, Tema, Amay Noket Yochid? Why did it say that a Yochid was Makabel Tainus and he eats and drinks at night, that he can say a name of the next day? The Tzibur Nami, the Armina B'masnisen, the Tzibur also a community that decrees a fast day, as we say in the Mishnah earlier in the Yoram and Aleph, the Oisni Shalosha Tainus. First three fast days from Rosh Chodesh Kislev, if rain did not yet fall. So they eat while it's dark, meaning at night, and they only start fasting from dawn. So there also, presumably they would say Aneinu. So that's what Tos ends with Sarachin. Sarachin, how come Rav Huna only addressed the Yochid Shekibul of Tainus, that they still say Aneinu the next day? How come we couldn't address a case of a Tzibur? Perhaps the answer is that typically a Tainus Sibur is going to be for 25 hours. But a Yochid typically, who declares a fast day, is only going to be during the day. That's why I address the case of the Yochid, who says Aneinu, even though he eats at night, but the same would be true for the type of Tainus Sibur, which is only a fast during the day. They'd also say Aneinu, such as the first three fast days over rain. Gemara continues to quote an additional statement of Rav Huna that if you fast during the day and then you continue fasting into the night without specifically being mekabel that you're fasting the next day, that night day fast is not considered in any way a fast, and therefore you cannot say aneinu neither at night nor the next day if you're still fasting.
But Taisus has three parts to it. In the first part, he explains the case of the Gemara of Lon Betaniso. Then he quotes an elaboration from the Bahag on our Gemara. The second part, he quotes the Shitas of Bahag limiting the Tefillah of Aneinu to Mincha against the simple implication of various Gemaras. And then Tosfos tries to bring proofs against the Shitas of Bahag. The third part, he ends with our Minhag Halach L'maisa, distinguishing between a Yochid and the Shliach Tzibur. So now Tosfos begins the first part.
Tosfos explains what the case of Lon Betaniso is. Pirish. Shes ana hayom, you fasted on any given day, uvalayla, and the night afterward, lo ochal, v'lon betaniso, and you overnighted in your fasting, meaning you still fasted at night, avagav shalina hoya mikoach tainis, even though that sleeping was riding the wave of a previous fast on the previous day, shekibel alav, and he did accept that previous fast day, ainu misfal tefilas tainis, he does not daven tefilas tainis. So, now, Taisus elaborates based on a Shitas HaBahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, one of the very, very early Rishonim, a transitional figure between the Goyim and the Rishonim.
By way of introduction to this Bahag, it's clear from the presentation that the Bahag was interpreting some earlier text. This text that the Bahag is interpreting doesn't appear in our Gemara, nor in any Gemara that we have, but Rashi, on Masech Shabbos, the Chavdal Amud Aleph, quotes a Tosefta, that is quoted by the Gaonim. Perhaps Rashi is referring to this Bahag, and Rashi quotes the Gaonim explaining that Tosefta. So here Tosis quotes in the name of the Bahag, explaining that Tosefta, again, that the Rishonim point out that we don't have. So now we begin Tosis' presentation of the words of the Bahag. In the Halachas Gedolos, we find the following. So now we have the quote of the first line of this mysterious Tosefta.
Yesh ochel misfal tefilas tainis. Someone who eats and davens the prayer of a fast day. Mefarish and the Bahag explains, Kemo hocha, just like here, the Veshachris Omer Tfilas Tainis, Av Bishocha Kol Alayla. This is the first statement of Rav Huna, that if you makabel a fast, let's say make it simpler, on Sunday afternoon to fast on Monday, so even though you ate all of Sunday night, you still say Tfilas Tainis, as we shall see, at least on Monday. Av Bishocha Kol Alayla, even though you ate the whole night.
Now we have a quote of the second line of this mysterious Tosefta.
By contrast, V'yesh Mesana She'enu Mespalel is someone who's fasting who does not daven. K'mo Ba'arvis, someone who fasts and does not say Aneinu, such as in Ma'ariv. Av Bishlo Ochel, even though you haven't eaten. Presumably, the proper understanding of this line is directly parallel to what we have Rav Huna saying in the second statement, that lan betaniso, that if you weren't makabel the night after a fast day to continue fasting, but you de facto continue to fast, so you cannot say anenu in that ma'ariv. And now we have the second part of Tosfos explaining the Bahag Shita concerning when we actually say anenu. Farsh Balachs Gedolus, and Alach Gedolus explains, Eino Ranenu Tefillah Shachris, that you don't say Anenu in the morning Tefillah. Sheminim Tse Shachrim Betzilosso, maybe it'll turn out retroactively that you'll be a liar in your Tefillah. That you call the Yom Tani Seino, and it'll turn out that it's not. The Shemelo Yisayim Atainis, maybe you won't get a chance to finish off the fast. In other words, if you're going to start saying Anenu at Tefillah Shachris, maybe you'll have to break your fast in the afternoon, and then it's going to turn out retroactively that which you mentioned in Shachris was a lie because you called it Yom Tani Sein. So, this is a famous Shittas HaBahag, which is the basis of the Minhag Ashkenaz, that we only say Anenu at Mincha, because by that time we assume you'll be able to finish up the fast. But to do it in Shachris, we wouldn't do, because we're afraid you might have to break your fast, and then retroactively your Tefillah Shachris and the mention of Anenu will be a lie. The Tos objects to the view of the Bahag, Vili Nira, appears to me, the lo nikra shakron, he's not called a liar retroactively. Kevin shall be datul asanis, since in the morning he intended to fast. I feel a ikri onus achakach, even if some kind of extenuating circumstances that occurs after that. Velo motzi letzar nafshe, and he cannot cause his soul any more pain, literally, meaning he cannot fast. Lo gara mimisanin l'shois, it should be no worse than what the Gemara discusses about the possibility of fasting for only half a day. And the Gemara had discussed in the Maskana that one who fasts l'shos, he does daven tefillas anenu. The Rishonim have an elaborate debate as to exactly what taina shos is. One view in the Rishonim is that the Kabbalah was only for part of the day, but the actual fasting was the whole day. That's the view of Rashi. And without that, it's not even called a taina shos, and you cannot say anenu. Other Rishonim maintain, based on the Rishalmi, that a taina shos could be part of the day, either the latter half of the day, which is the view of the Rambam, or perhaps even the former half of the day, which is the view of other Rishonim. So Tosfos here, by stating that we have a proof from Taina Shos that you say Anenu, even though you're going to break your fast later, is seemingly maintaining, like the view that is discussed by the Balei Tosfos elsewhere, which Tosfos briefly references on a later Amud that is more elaborated on in the Tosfos and Masechta Avodah Zarah, as well as by the Rosh over here, that even fasting the first part of the day is called a taina shos in which you can't say anenu even though you're eating later on. And therefore, Tosfos brings a proof against the Bahag that eating later does not necessarily contradict saying biyom tani seino earlier. Of course, if you held like those Rishonim, such as Rashi, that even a taina shos necessitates fasting the whole day, then this proof of Tosfos and taina shos would not be a proof. So let's bring an additional proof against the Bahag. Second proof, that which we taught in the Mishnah, that if the rains fall before Chatzos, if they decreed a fast day over the rain, if the rains fell before midday, so they don't complete the fast, Adarabah, they go to the shuls, and they sing the Hallel, the Hallel HaGadol, in thanksgiving for the fact that Hashem gave them the rain. Mastama Mashma, the straightforward implication by the silence of the Gemara, Shamru Tfilas Tainis, that they still said Anenu in Shachris. Shamru Tfilas Tainis, that in Shachris, before Chatzos, so as of Shachris, it was still a drought, and it sounds like they must have said Anenu. So how do we have a right to say that if it rains before Chatzos, they have a right to break the fast, and it's going to turn out that retroactively they're declaring the day as Yom Tani Sein, it'll be a lie. So somewhat of an unusual proof, because if the Bahag holds that you don't say Anenu in Shachris, so that Gemara is obviously talking about, we didn't say it. And before Hashem explained that everyone agrees that the Gemara holds that you say Anenu in Shachris, as explicitly stated in the Gemara in Shavis of Chavdalim and Aleph. What the Bahag is saying is that that's good for the people of the Gemara, because they're not worried that they're going to have to break the fast. But we're worried that we're going to have to break our fast. So a post-Talmudic decree not to say Anenu in Shachris, lest you turn out to be a liar retroactive. Tos is proving from that Mishnah that when it rains before Chatzos and they had a fast day for rain, that they gather in the shuls and they sing Hallel and then they eat a festive meal. So you see, Kemat Beferish, almost explicitly in the Gemara, they were having an Eino Shachris, and still, they were breaking the fast, not worried that it's going to declare the Yom Tani Seino that they said in the Anenu to be a lie retroactively. Natas points out that it's not an absolute proof, that proof from the fact that it rained before Chatzos. Mikomoko means that Raya Gemura is not an absolute proof. Shem Elo Amrua. Maybe Taka, they didn't say Aneinu in Shachris. Maybe that's the only time they wouldn't be worried about breaking their fast and declaring the Aneinu to be a lie retroactively. Tos has another proof, according to different Gersos, to see their proof for the Bahag or a proof against the Bahag. We'll go with the approach of the Bach, that is a proof against the Bahag. Hodla Kamon, that which we learned later in Yud Beis and Beis, Gabe Ravuna, Brei, the Rav Yeshua, Brei, the Rav Idi, Ravuna, the son of Yeshua, the son of Idi. The point that on the margin that we have a slight different Gersa there, that it was Rav Yeshua, Brei, the Rav Idi, not Rav Idi's grandson, Ravuna. Yosef b'Tanisa, he was immersed in a fast. From the fact that he said to him, Lezef Marvel Ifra, they had some kind of party, they wanted to join, and he said, I'm fasting. So he said, why don't you borrow the fast and repay back later? That's the sugya of when you're allowed to do that. When in the middle of a fast, you could say, okay, I'll eat today and I'll fast another day. So Amalahu, and according to Tosis Girsa, so Rav Huna told them, Tainus Chalomu, it's a fast day over a bad dream, and that has to be done right away on the morning of the dream. Otherwise, it's not going to be effective. Tos now ask, why did Rav Huna have to answer that it was a fast on a dream? Milo Amar, Mipnesha Amar, Tfilas Tainus. He could have given a more generic answer, which would have been had nafkaminas for other situations. It didn't know if it would be a regular fast, but presumably he said Aneinu and Shachris, and he was going to borrow his fast, so to speak, and pay back later. He's going to retroactively, as had said Aneinu in a lie, because he referred to it as Yom Tani Seinu, and it's not, according to the Bahag's logic. So that sounds like another kasha in the Bahag. So now Tos points out, again, we're going with the Bach's Girsa. Ein Zoraya, this is not a proof. The Bach adds in, De Lid Divrei Halachas Gedolos, not Lid Divrei. De Lid Divrei Halachas Gedolos, with an extra Dalid, meaning the proof against the Bahag, was already stated. And now De, beginning a defense of the Bahag, De, since, according to the Bahag, he adds in the phrase, Ika Lameimar, so one could respond to that. That's not a problem of a lie. Lo hayadato l'sanas v'vodyom, lo kibalov. Had it not been a tanas chalom, he would have just been randomly fasting. That would not be a tainus that he accepted upon himself. Because of Aram, Mishalo kibalov v'vodyom, ainu aranenu. Someone who didn't accept a fast day, and it's not officially a yom tainus, he cannot say anenu. Presumably because you say yom tainus seinu, it's not called a tainus, not called a fast. He loved the tainus chalomu, unless it's fasting in a dream. As we mentioned earlier, it doesn't need a Kabbalah. And then it still has a chaloshem tainus, it's called the fast. If it's not a tainus he accepted upon himself, then there wouldn't be an enu. If there's no an enu, breaking that fast, so to speak, it's not a formal fast, would not be declaring it retroactively to be a lie.
So there's no proof against the Bahag, because had it not been a tainus chalom, there wouldn't be an enu to talk about. And if there wouldn't be an enu to talk about, his breaking his fast later would not be retroactively declaring his words to be a lie.
Now that it was a tainus chalom, which doesn't require a kabbalah and bojom, it's the
bad dream itself
that necessitates it, the way my Rebbe Shechta pointed out, that it's not called a fast unless you're mechoyev to fast, unless you're obligated. So either you obligate yourself through kabbalah satainus, or the dream that you're nervous about makes you obligated to fast, even though it's dependent on machlokes rishonim, whether you're really obligated to fast for a bad dream or not, but certainly makes it neater over here, that you only could count it as a real fast day to say aneinu if you're obligated to fast. So that's what Tos explained. If it had not been a tainus chalom, there was no kabbalah satainus. And then he wouldn't have said aneinu during the day, because that's not a real fast day. But now there was a fast on a chalom, that's what he was telling them. I cannot break it because it's only good today, not on another day. So in sum, Tos quote the Bahag that you shouldn't say aneinu in Shachris, only at Mincha, because otherwise you might have to break your fast, and it's going to retroactively declare the Aneinu that you said in Shachris to be a lie, because you mentioned Yom Tani Seinu. The Tos has had a variety of proofs against the Bahag. Number one, that you know worse than Misan and Lishos, fasting only part of the day. That's not called a lie, just because you're not fasting the rest of the day. And then he had two Gemaras that sound not like the Bahag, one from the case of where it rained before Chatzos, and one from the story of Yeshua Maridi, about the fact that they wanted him to borrow the fast day, and he seemed to have not been concerned about that it would create the Aneinu of Shachris to be a lie. So now Tosis, continue with the third part, stating our current minhag. Noagim shliach tzibur amar b'shachris kedei laodia la'olam v'hazkir atainis. That even if you follow the Bahag, that the Yachid will only say it at Mincha, which is our custom Ashkenazim, but the Chazin is going to say it even at Shachris to tell the tzibur that there's a fast day here. Al Yachid ainu amar mincha. An individual should only say it at Mincha, which is exactly what the Bahag said, because earlier Tosis had been mefakbik on the Bahag.
Bottom line, the minig is in accordance with the Bahag.
So here in bracket,
Tosis proceeds to quote an additional reason why the Shliach Tzibur could say it even in Shacharis.
But the Shliach Tzibur has the ability to say it all the time, including Shacharis, because certainly some of the community is going to be fasting the whole day and not going to be breaking their fast in the middle, and therefore the Shliach Tzibur has the right to say it on their behalf, because it will not in any way be a lie for the Shliach Tzibur retroactively, because certainly some of the community will fast all day. Ad kan l'shono. So the Achronim point out that if this bracket really belongs to this Tosis, it's a further proof this Tosis is very late, that he lived even after the tour, although it's possible this was a later addition on the margin and then later made its way into the Tosis. In any case, halacha l'maisa, the Minhag Ashkenaz is actually to follow the Bahag,
that a Yochid does not say Aneinu at Shacharis, only at Mincha,
but the Shliach Tzibur does say Aneinu even in Shacharis. However, it's interesting, the Rif and the Rambam, that Aneinu was actually said, not only Shacharis and Mincha, but also Arvis, even if you're eating at night, because it still has the shame tainus. If you had a third view to distinguish it between a tainus sibur that a community took upon themselves and the tainio sibur that are mentioned by Zechariah, Tzom Gedalia, Tzor B'Teve, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, that there will say Aneinu in all three tefillos of Arvis, Shacharis, and Mincha. But a tainus sibur that a specific community decrees over a certain decree, so there, Beis Yosef quotes the Kolbo, there you'd only say it at Mincha.